Suki, and to welcome everyone for the weekly discussion. Today, good participation. We have our appointed traditional topic to start the discussion. But anyway, before going to this appointed topic, I would like to call for any other topic or any other statement or any other... Yes?
Bhante, I wanted to say that my friend Bhikkhu Jayasara from the United States sends his warmest regards to you.
Can we invite him to also to participate now? What is the time at USA now?
It's probably like 12 hours behind, at least.
That means evening?
Yeah.
7:30, 8:30.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think he's in New Jersey right now.
New Jersey?
Yeah.
So please pass the message.
Okay.
You pass the greetings, and I invited him to participate. Participate, okay. That means we are conquering the whole world.
Okay. I'll let him know.
Okay, any other Ari?
I'm Sarai Bhante.
Yes.
I'm Niranjan here. Bhante, we have leftover reports received from Rockhampton Satipasala.
Is it in English? Then you can present, please. Yes.
Yes, Bhante, there are about 10.
So start with you about 3, so we can take our own time. We start with the early 3 reports.
Yes, ma'am. First report, Sydney, 6 years old from Rockhampton, Satipasala.
Six years old. That is very important for the participants here. Please repeat.
Yes, ma'am. Sydney, 6 years old, mindful walking. I felt the carpet floor touching my feet. It was soft to my feet. The softness was high when I turned. My mind went to thoughts. Thoughts were just happening and I ignored it. And mind came back to my walking, feeling cold to my feet. Then mind stayed on walking. I did 15 minutes of mindful walking, mindful sitting. I sat in a full lotus posture on a bed. I put my hand in lap and closed my eyes gently. I heard the starting bell goes like ding. I listened to it all the way to the end. At the beginning, it was loud, and then in middle, sound was going down, and at the very end, the sound stopped, but I was still listening and did not hear anything. I switched on to my quiet mind. Then I felt breaths naturally. I breathed, in breath was cold, and out breath was hot. In-breath was getting more cold and out-breath was getting less hotter. I kept on watching the breaths. I did mindful sitting for 15 minutes. General mindfulness. Making cereal. I got milk out and I felt it to my hand. Mother got cup out for me. It had a handle and had a Sri Lankan flag. I poured milk carefully into my cup. My mother heated milk for me. Sadhu, 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 Bhante. End of the report, Bhante.
I doubt whether Sitmi is listening for the moment, but anyway, this is the first time I heard that Sitmi can sit on a full cross-legged. I know Ashmi can do it, and Vishmi can do it, and Vishmi is a yoga teacher and elder sister, but they are always fighting. The younger sister and the medium sister, the middle one is really idealistic. And very, very nice she can sit. But Sitmi is the one always making noise. But today she is reporting she can sit 16 minutes and walk 16 minutes. I mean, at the age of 6. Just imagine. So therefore I asked their parents, don't worry about, I will take care about the children. You mind your own business. And the 3 sisters, all are participating, but unlucky enough, last Saturday, I was completely bewildered. I had no chance to listen to it. I saw them in the my inbox, but I had no chance to sit and write answer. I am just telling, Sitmi, I am so happy you can sit cross-legged even one split second, even 1 minute, and you can report not in-breath is cooler and out-breath is warmer. Not only that, just like Ashmi, you can see the coolness is reducing, warmness is reducing. I mean, it is not the shape, but the manners, how the breath is calming down, how the in-breath and out-breath is calming down. And I hope, if I am not too much, while you observe the in-breath is calming down, while you observe the out-breath is calming down the heat, you can listen sounds also. You can feel your pain also. You can think. While they are happening, still you can see the manner, how the breath is calming down or agitated. Becoming agitated or calming down, immaterial. Only thing is, you have to understand, mind is multifaceted. At the beginning, we take only one criterion. It may be too much for Sitmi to understand, but I hope Anusha can help and teach her, while observing the calming down breath, still can feel pains here and there. But sometimes, while you are feeling the pain prominently, you can see the breath here and there still calming down. So therefore, for the calming down of the breath, your personal involvement, ego, is not necessary. It is always in a calming down process. Sometimes in an agitating process. Only your thing must be reporting, which means reporting excellent. We are going to the next.
Report number 2. Vinodi, 8 years old. Mindful sitting. I sat with my legs crossed on the floor. I felt my first inhale was cold and the exhale was warm. It didn't continue for long. Then the inhale was warm and exhale was cold. When I inhaled, I felt my nose getting big, and when exhaled, I felt my nose getting small. I could continue a few minutes without any distractions, even though I heard outside sounds. This time, the stars didn't appear. I did a mindful sitting about 20 minutes. Mindful walking. In mindful walking, I didn't have anything special. I did it for 15 minutes. End of the report, Pante.
I think Vinodi is from Sri Lanka. I don't know whether it's still from the Rockhampton. But even then, sitting cross-legged, not in the full lotus posture, is a good exercise to start with. If you have a thin body, easy to fairly put into the cross-legged position. I am not serious about the posture, but I am telling is, these things you can increase, you can see the improvements in time to come. Wherever you may start with the posture and see they become pliable and flexible. And more the posture become pliable and flexible, more time you can keep the breath in breath face to face with. So you must be tactful. Whenever the breath become longer time with you face to face, you can see not only the shape but only the manners also. How it is changing, how it is behaving chronologically as you keep on practicing. Without observing continuously, you can't see shape. Sorry, you can't see manners. Manners you can see, longer observation. So it's a, how do you call it? Double fold gain only for the intellectual people. Only for the prepared people. Otherwise, they will just say, yes, breath, yes, out breath, that's it. But how it changes happens when you are sitting comfortably for a longer time and you keep the breath in view with for longer time. If you have a friend, have association longer time, longer the better understanding. I am not telling the friend is better. Friend is meant to be just an unwanted fellow. But you can understand, good, we are Vinodi, we are moving.
Report number 3, Ranu, 8 years old. Walking, mindful walking. I walked indoors. I had no distractions. I looked 1.8 meters ahead of me. I had no distractions. I focused on the lower part of my body. I felt the hard tiles. I had one addictive pain, but I ignored it and kept on going. I kept my hands behind my back, mindful sitting. I sat down in my full lotus posture. I had no distractions. I focused on the upper part of my body. I felt my breath going in and out. I had my eyes closed nearly the whole time. End of the report, man.
So three times mentioned no distraction. It is a blessing. Under such circumstances, you must slowly increase the time. It's an invitation you to consider longer sitting. But if you're in a group sitting, you have to start and stop as the group coming. But this is a good hint for you to give your own private time and have a longer time as far as there are no distractions. That means, according to the Buddhist theory, you have done enough merits in your past life. If you do not have enough past memories, you have good time, but you can't sit. Lot of distractions. Some people go through the distraction, but this character, there's no challenge. Distraction. And very rarely only people report no distraction. Everyone very expert to report distractions. They are just unwanted things. You must report no distraction. But it's an invitation. You to sit longer time. Or for example, if you can walk without distraction, it's an invitation to increase the walking time. Whatever it may be, your mind space is increasing. Therefore, it's a very good report. But anyway, we can't give time because here a lot of people waiting to go into the Burabeda Sutta. Thank you very much for the presentation. And do you have the written questions in your inbox with you?
Yes, Panthe. Yes,
please Panthe. Delete these three and resend me the balance 7. I will try my best to answer in written form, please.
Yes, Panthe.
Do anyone in the audience wish to comment on these reports? America? No comment? Still you are in jet lag?
No.
Smile, will you? Now, if there are no comments, you have any? So we are shifting into the Burabeda Sutta in the Sutta Nipata.
So continuing on to the 10th verse in the sutta, I call him peaceful who is indifferent to sensual pleasures. In him no knots are found. He has crossed over attachment. So here again the Buddha is emphasizing this equanimity of mind, an equanimity not just towards sensual pleasures, but all kinds of pleasure, really. So there's sensual pleasure, but even like spiritual pleasure or all kinds of pleasure. And, and when we also talk about pleasure, we also mean adversity as well. So, this indifference is the word that Bhikkhu Bodhi uses, indifferent. But what he's referring to is the equanimous state of mind. Whereas, like, indifference can have a suggestion that it's again, a numbing or a dullness of mind or a indifference. It has a negative meaning, but in this case, he really means the equipoise. And it's not that he rejects sensual pleasures. It's just that he can look on sensual pleasures. He can look on them and not be enmeshed into those sensual pleasures. So similarly, he's not enmeshed by unpleasant sensations or, you know, so whether it's good things are arising or uncomfortable or not so pleasant things are arising, he is equanimous. So in this way, he is making peace with the world. He is making peace with the world. And I did a lot of work around anger, and there was one psychologist that I was very interested in. He had written a few books on anger, and he talked about active anger as one type of anger. So this is when something is unpleasant and you have an aversion towards that that thing, and it's active. And then there's a passive aggressive type of anger where you you haven't got the power to directly counterattack the thing that is bringing you distress. So you kind of try to get it back indirectly later on. And then there's a declining type of anger, which is where you, because you feel powerless to be angry with the thing that is distressing you or unpleasant. So therefore, you turn against yourself, and you're angry with yourself for being powerless and weak or pathetic. And then there's positive forms of anger, which is called transformative anger, which is like you don't like something, but it gives you the kind of energy to go and do something about it to make it better and change. But ultimately, anger is a kind of an energy, and you need to bring it to peace. And so normally when I'm talking about bringing things to peace, you know, it's a lot about peace and reconciliation and forgiveness with that difficult thing. But it's not so easy to have such a ladder of explanation around sensual pleasures. Because normally we think sensual pleasures are good things to have, but really they're also an agitation to the mind. So maybe you can think about it in terms of like people who are very busy with busyness or busy with parties or busy with going here and there and busy with kind of self-importance. It's a tremendous distraction, and it isn't bringing one to a state of peacefulness. So to have an equanimous state of mind, to be indifferent to sensual pleasures, to be indifferent to unpleasant sensations, to be able to look on the world, whatever is happening in the world, whether it's distressful or not, not to flinch, not to divert one's attention, not to be callous towards those difficult things, but to be wide-eyed and knowledgeable, wise, penetrating whatever is happening, whether it's bitter or sweet. That is indeed a person who I call peaceful. In him there are no knots to be found. So again, here these knots that he's referring to are the knots of anger, knots of greed. These are kind of just bodily knots, one of the advantages of doing Kaya Upasana is that one can help release some of these knots that are in the body, whatever the origin of those knots are. There's a slogan in another form of kind of therapy, and they say the body keeps the record. So these knots that we find in our body and in our mind are often like a record of past difficulties. So we make peace with these difficulties, and as I mentioned earlier on, we forgive ourselves. We make peace, we reconcile ourselves, and we forgive and move on. And to make a wholehearted forgiveness, it's very useful sometimes to have a clear accountability of what has happened. So this requires a certain mindfulness. You know what happened, and you make you apologize. You can be sorry towards maybe a person that you have offended, or you can also just make an apology towards oneself if you have offended yourself, and then also you can make an amends. So to make an amends is to make it up to the other person or to make it up to yourself. So what I find is that people who are like, as I mentioned, in anger, there can be kind of a self-harming type of anger, angry with oneself, then this is having your own inner dictator. And sometimes we need to make it up to ourselves for having been cruel to ourselves, having been harsh with ourselves. So untangling these knots in the body and in the mind is a part of the ongoing process of getting to know the mind intimately with mindfulness and wisdom. So it's not just mindfulness, but also mindfulness and wisdom, and having these strategies to untie these knots. He has crossed over attachment. So again, this is referring to the second noble truth, you know, that there is suffering and the cause of suffering is attachment. So having crossed over attachment is that we see the attachment in whatever thing is arising. We can have an attachment that's an attachment of pleasure, or we can have an attachment of anger. So both are kind of the same, two sides of the same coin, which is just simply attachment. And that is that we are moving beyond our needs and into the wants. So when we want more from a situation than it can give, then we have attachment. So that can be an attachment of anger or an attachment of pleasure. So having crossed over attachment means one is free from attachment. And this is the ultimate freedom and liberty that we seek. Rather than freedom of attachments, meaning like I'm so wealthy that I can buy whatever I want. Whereas as monks, we have a different kind of wealth, which is freedom from attachment. So this is having crossed over from having crossed over attachment. So maybe Mahadero has something to say about this.
I hope this is stanza number 861 according to the Buddha Jayanti book. So So that is Bhikkhu Bodhi's numbering.
No, this is
Pali Text Society.
Saratissa's.
Yeah, so this is having two. I think to bring it back to the more traditional way. Tang brumi upasantoti kamesu anapekhitang anapekhinang ganta tassa navijjanti atariso visattika. This is the Pali stanza, and the simple translation into Sinhala. Yam atasi hatika vastu kama klesha kama anni apeksha nati. He is he who has no materialistic pleasure or immaterial pleasure or physical and the religious. There is no such a pleasure. He recognized as a calm and quiet person, saint, in simple English. For him, abhidhyadi kaya grante unata. He is having no abhidhya, visama lobi, trushna, abhidhya, dvesha. Dvesha, no patiga, no hatred. So he took time to explain about that. And the Buddhist explanation is there are nine kinds of hatred. You have an obvious reason. Tenth one, there is no obvious reason. This is dasa isthanakopa. The tenth one is asthanakopa. Isthanakopa is he is my enemy, and he hated me, and he will hate me. So there's a three kind of hatred with me. And some people says he hated my family, he is hating my family, he will hate my family, my friends. Third one is he supported my enemies, he is supporting my enemies, he will support my enemies. Nine, they are all obvious reason. And the tenth one, there's no obvious reason. That is called very perverted, that's called psychiatric cases. That means due to the last life or something genetically you have, that is what you call psychiatric situation. It is 50% of people, they don't know why they are hating other people. Genetically they are hating. And they are appearing mostly as skin diseases. Their appearance and the skin become very unfriendly, and asthanakopa, sometimes it appears like masochism or sadistic. He hate himself, he destroy himself, or give distraction to the distortion to the others. So they are well recognized in the Western psychology, but the Buddhist explanation is 100%. All the diseases Ayurveda accept because of asthanakopa. You have some kind of a misbalance in the vata, pitta, kapha that you do not know. And you are taking non-conducive food, not conducive postures, not conducive climatic situation and friends.
ultimately you keep on feeding your asthana kopa. But the Ayurveda is understanding all the mental and physical diseases are due to asthana kopa. Asthana kopa means you don't know the reason. And one way is understand the vata pitta sema kapha, and other thing is past karma. And it is attributed to the food, climate, past karma, and your present mental state. Kammaja, chittada, uttuja, ahara. That is purely Buddhist. So therefore, you have to understand, specifically when you are meditating, there may be some adverse situation can happen. And whenever adverse situation happens, for him, it is not an adverse situation. For me, it is adverse. For example, leeches. When you're bitten, some people get soaring. Some other people do not care. Even the mosquitoes. Even this humidity climate, the damp climate. So you have some kind of allergic reactions. So when these are happening, you must not fight with the agent. Instead, you have to understand it is happening due to the unknown base, asthana. You can't reason it out. No linear relationship. There is a reciprocal relationship. It's a matrix. So therefore, you must not conclude this is due to that and this is due to this. There is no single reason for anything. Multiple reason. And single disease, single symptoms. No, multiple symptoms. So we have to, by talking and working, one day we will hit the target. And then you will be free from mental situation of psychiatric upsets. Or otherwise you will understand, I am a psychiatric, pathetic person. Some people can understand, by understanding they will be healed. So that is why the discussion, we must be thrashed out. So other friends, our co-practitioners must understand, this. If I am thrashing out, others can come out with a suggestion. Not with the exactly, because you are not a psychiatrist, you are not an Ayurvedic doctor, you are not a mental doctor, physical, so Western doctor. So Western psychology is very nicely presenting terminologies. But they are not known. The Buddha has completely given the map. Good, anyway. We are learning with the, state-of-art kind of science, state-of-art kind of medicine, and psychiatric situation, then we can connect it into the Buddhist teaching. And therefore, the monks, we are in a very, very fortunate situation. But not only by meditating. Not only by meditating. You have to listen. And you have to see inferential connections and deductive knowledge to understand. Therefore, no one is a teacher. No one is a disciple. So artificial intelligence is killing it. They have forgotten the basic needs of the human being. They are going to the technology, to the technology, to the technology. They are answering technological questions, not human questions. So recently I heard that American president went to South Korea and talking about the Samsung deal and says we are going to give answer from the artificial intelligence. They are mentally sick people. People are suffering from no food. They are talking about the stock markets. They are talking about the artificial intelligence. We must use it and understand it's a cancer. It's an outcome of a sick mind. But the human being, they are living in a cave or living with the mosquitoes, living with the leeches. What the artificial intelligence can do? You can understand, you have your way out, but you cannot establish them. They must be volatile, and any time you can plug into the any artificial intelligence or any rock for us living. And that is the way the Buddha's teaching is for the beginners. So therefore, we become beginners as far as we are discussing. We don't know. We are just telling. Others are fully accepted. Others' views are well accepted. With the male or female, ordained or non-ordained, Buddhist or non-Buddhist. So by introducing Satipasala, I am now opening windows to the completely unknown areas. How the newly born children, they are in blood, they are drugs. Because mother is addicted. And they are definitely undergoing the adverse childhood experience. And definitely vulnerable for bad habits. And then how can we answer? We have to answer the child, we have to answer the parents, and we have to answer the grandparents.
They don't know how much the hatred is working in their mind. They are doing these things because of the inbuilt hate. And knowledge means unidentified hate is I call knowledge. Unidentified knowledge is always seeking new research, looking here and there, because present moment they are not happy. And identified hatred, you can say it is an artificial thing, be here and now, it's a universal answer. You can understand how much you are out of the moment, out of the present moment. Kshana sampatti. So they can't come to the present moment, they challenge. So last time in our psychiatric course, one doctor came and he talked about artificial intelligence. He was very nice. He was telling for Sri Lanka, we need them because have the multimedia projector and giving all the kind of thing. But he made a joke. Can the artificial intelligence robot can be mindful? Can a robot be mindful? Never. Because the robot himself is not mindful. So recently presented robots... chameleon. Chameleon presented to the His Holiness Dalai Lama. And Dalai Lama asked, can that chameleon read my mind? Having all the capacities, the robot chameleon, can he read my mind? No, he is not reading his mind, and the maker himself can't read his mind. That's why they are making outside and sending the people mad. But imagine here, understanding Abhijja Domanasa, he will explain how the perverted anger is boiling blood. You are not present in the moment. You are not happy in the here and now. So you think, it's called research, bloody shit. Buddha presented Arya Paryesana. Arya Paryesana is how to bring mind to the present moment, not to the sent kites. To the Saturn or Moon, they are very perverted people. You American, I have two Americans now, and one Ukraine. Imagine, still not fighting. So therefore, being a simple forest monk, living in this climatic situation, is what a kind of revolution. Present day, so much of fighting in Sri Lanka, so much of uncertainty in Sri Lanka, so much of killing and burning houses in Sri Lanka, and non-reaction. People consider we are callous. They consider you sit and cross-legged and do meditation, you are not citizens, because you are in the forest. I mean, we know everything, but we are not reacting, because reaction that comes due to our hatred. It is unbased hatred. There is no reason directly. Because of the 9 hatred, you can have, you have reason. The 10th one is asthana kopa. That is schizophrenia, bipolar. And they don't know they are harming themselves. And now serious killing is very famous in America. In city by city. And they are taking drugs. Overdose killing 1,400 people in San Francisco. And American soldiers and veterans, 26 each day, committing suicide. There's no way they can make up their mind. They don't know mindfulness. And now, of course, they are introducing mindfulness. Bhikkhu Bodhi is telling, now you are Dhammadeva, you are also teaching how to be mindful after killing so much of Vietnamese people and not to kill himself. Is this mindfulness you are going to teach? Then I told, I am taking some parts of that also, that is the Free the Mind film. But that's also answering. But we are talking about not the therapeutic mindfulness, we are talking about the preventative mindfulness. So these things are explaining that particular person understand the baseless hate we have. That is the thing pushing you from the present moment. I am repeating. If you have baseless hate, that is pushing you from the present moment. Present moment appears very boring, very monotonous. So it is talking about the past and the future, other people and other places. Whole younger generation sent astray. Lucky enough, America is not spending so much of money for education now. So they are purchasing educated people from the outside. All the jobs created for the outsiders. Because education is completely misleading children.
So therefore, this the understanding the head, which is appear like a motivation for us, to understand how much it is benevolent, how much it is malevolent. The Buddha says, each and every motivation is malevolent. Sabbe sankara dukkha. It's a universal thing. Sabbe sankara dukkha. So whatever the motivation, motivational or volitional or willful action, is ending up with suffering. So therefore, to take further and go there, we each and everyone is having a lesson, having a instruction in this kind of suttas. So therefore, I would like to sum up my remarks with that. Wish to know if anyone is having to their views. America? He's also from America. He also from America.
Thank you, Swami Nansa. I just, my thoughts on this is, well, we come to this practice and of meditation, and we become more in tune to ourselves, and what comes up usually is our aversion and our passion, our sensual, being drawn to sensuality and being aware of our aversion to things. So that is the first thing that we find. We seem to become suddenly very sensitive to things we love, sensual things, and also things that we don't like. And so speaking of the average person who doesn't meditate, they're not sensitive to that because they haven't tuned in. They're looking outward. They're looking at the things that they don't like and the things that they like, and they're attracted or pushing away these things. So it's interesting if you talk to somebody who it doesn't meditate, they're not aware of that. If you speak about your insight, they seem, you know, not to understand because they're sort of they're not in tune to it. So it's the first step in going beyond our passions and our aversions is to get in tune to ourselves and realize that we do have things that are causing us in either way, you know, suffering through being attached to sensuality or suffering through being averse to others and fighting and hating things. So it almost seems like when we start meditating that there is it's a step backward because you feel a lot of trouble from the things that you like and that you don't like, and you become very sensitive. So, but at the same time, I noticed for myself that even though I was more in, when I started to meditate, I realized, you know, I was very sensitive to things, but at the same time, you know, and things became more vibrant and I started to become aware that I had anger. I never knew that I had anger, but when I started meditating and living in a community of meditators, I realized, oh, I've got lots of anger. And then as well, being really caught up in desire. So, once you can start to see that these both the desire and the anger are causing you a lot of suffering, then you can continue to work. But the interesting thing as well is that I was going to say is that even though I became much more sensitive to anger and passion, at the same time I felt this calming down and this peacefulness in me and some this vitality and aliveness that was also becoming coming up. So it was interesting to see how there was that really sort of a, I don't know what it was, but a sort of more at peace and more alive and vibrant at the same time of feeling a lot of aversion and a lot of attraction to desirous objects.
So if I would like to make a comment that when you feel internalized and you feel the vibration, dynamism, and we call apamada, that means vigilant and diligent. And still the calmness. Still, mind is calming. It's a kind of energizing yourself internally. And that is we call vibration. That we call diligent and vigilance, and that has been translated as apamada. Sometimes we call apamada is equal to mindfulness. So mindfulness make you in a way agitated. This is I call catalyzing. You are being catalytic, but still you are calmed down. So these two, if you put a brain wave starter, you can see theta waves sometimes fully active, very bright, but the person is calm and quiet. Sometimes they are going to the very calm, but mind is so not sober. Mind is little like a turtle, tucking. So these two, the Wikipedia explain, without meditation, they explain the vibration of the wave. So I asked Venerable Dhammasagara and Mr. Asoka from the campus, Moratuwa campus, and see how the vipassana developed mind and the agitation still calm down, and the samatha calming down and becoming a turtle-like. Still, they are both considered as they are very contented, very spiritual, and two kinds of, one thing is very vibrant, very vigilant, very diligent, but very full of composure. That's called contentment. The other people get the same contentment with the samatha. Samatha means calm down and how to call single-mindedness, one-pointedness. But the other people's single-minded mindfulness and the minded pointedness is momentary. Other person is, there's a longer time, only one single object. So out of these two, before the appearance of the Buddha, this long time mindfulness with the calmness was recognized as jhanic pleasure. But the Buddha introduced momentary mindfulness, then and there, object is changing, posture is changing, mind is like a spark, very electric. And that make you rejuvenated. That make you rejuvenated. They not guarantee rejuvenation. Because now mind is coming backward, here now I am. Coming to the childlike mind. Coming to the young blood. So that is very difficult for psychiatrically sick people to handle. They consider it as a regression. They want to have the calmness in the long time, I mean, the traditional calmness. So I respect Venerable Dhammika because he taught me that mindfulness is not the mindfulness. You must be in then and there mindfulness, momentary, and there is no ethics. There is no moral values. Not that you are breaking ethics. Not that you are not concerned about the morality. But the moral people, they will understand that kind of vibration. They are talking about the religious frame and try to put into a crucifixion. But vipassana never respect any that kind of preconceived, pre-recognized norms. But you are not violating norms. That is separate issue. That is what your restraint must be. But later Venerable Dhammika withdrew. He told, when I am teaching, people go mad. Therefore, I am not explaining vipassana. I am just saying simple mindfulness as metta. Exactly, he told last time. Then I told Bhante, after 40 years, you are sounding the same. I am not teaching vipassana because vipassana is a big array. You can send mad. You can send yourself mad. But at your own risk. You are in a full vibration. You are not in the outside, this thing, internal. It's like a spark, like a welded lamp, burning. It is not burning, it's energy. It is a primordial energy. It's uncontaminated energy. It is pure energy. And it has no male, female. It has no aging. It has no Buddhist or non-Buddhist. It has no any kind of a ruler or ruling. And that is Buddha. That's the Buddha mind. So it's a shortcut in the present moment whenever you become mindful. But the task is how to maintain that for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. So that is my comment.
Vasraya-san-ansi, I have a question. Regarding your external affairs, like satipasala or teaching here, how do you arrange those things, think about those things, plan for them, and at the same time keep mindfulness? Because it's important to stay in the present moment, but of course sometimes one has to think for the future or learn from the past.
I'll put it in this way. How can I work with the society? How can I work with myself? Wherever it goes, I don't care the society. I don't care what they are telling. Do what I am telling. I am Hitler. Otherwise, I'll kick you out. And then I can maintain my integrity. Sometimes I may be wrong. But later I understand, no, that time I was very harsh. And then I go and say, I'm sorry, at that time I would have hurt you. But otherwise I can't run this ship. I am the captain. So my autonomous and my monotonous tone, that I am the king. So that kind of a thing is happening. I heard that kind of a thing is happening for the present Chinese president also. That kind of thing is happening in Putin also. They become one-man army. And they don't care about. And I read, what about the Prabhakaran? Have you heard about the Prabhakaran? He was the terrorist leader. Go on to the 8th grade. Tamil terrorist leader. And the present the defense secretary, he was the Sri Lankan hero. He wrote about the Prabhakaran character. Very adamant. Not mindful. Anyone coming rivalry, kill him. Anyone in his society not listening, no mercy. And that kind of adamant character is there whenever you are running a society. Not only the mindful society, not only the Satipasala. So I find many of the Satipasala members, they don't know what the mindfulness is. They want to have a frame. They want to have a constitution. They want to have ethics. Yes, yes. As far as there is no problem, we have to have ethics and everything. But when you are in action, you have to take a decision and run. Don't listen to so much of masters. So one-man army. Usually I am not that. I am very happy to be myself in my kuti and read and look YouTube or whatever may be. But if I am asked to come to the society, I had a very nice discussion last time with the Commissioner General of the Sunday School and the Commissioner General's Assistant of the Buddhist Affairs and the Assistant of the Pradeshiya Sabha, the local government secretary, and Paladavardhana. They are creative. And I had a 2 hours discussion. I told this is a very good time. Tomorrow we are going to meet Satipasala children. And before that, you will have your own agenda. Lucky enough, you accepted mindfulness now for any Dhampasala, Sunday school, and Pirivena. Now we have more than 70 monks coming from the Pirivena. They wanted to put mindfulness into the syllabus. Are we going to introduce mindfulness in learning each and every language or subject? Are we going to teach mindfulness as a subject? You get the point? Whenever I am going to introduce mindfulness as a subject, I have to take a Buddhist stand. But even I can. But in the schools, 70% non-Buddhist. So then I have to write complete novelty. How to put mindfulness is the simple mindfulness, bare attention. I am not talking about the Nibbana. I am not talking about the Jhana. Nothing, just to be mindful. So I have to always be mindful specifically when I am working with so-called mindful society. Because of most of the mindful people in our mindful school, I am not asking the children, teachers, they don't know mindfulness. The mindfulness that I understand as mindfulness, it may be wrong. So there is always a challenge when you are working in a society, when you are in a regimentation. And the mindfulness is dislodging all the regimentation. you become like a flying bird. No direction, no traces. But still they wanted to have a constitution and all the kind. Yes, we can do it. But don't be a slave to your own constitution. Don't be slave to your own officers. And the government officers, I feel so sorry. They're in such a bureaucracy. They try to understand mindfulness, but their frame never allow them to. Even the parents can't think. Even the teachers can't think. One person told, to give an example, he told Bhante, we have the Dhampasala from 8 to 11 o'clock, for example. This is 11 o'clock, child has to go to another tuition class. Sometimes the tuition class is starting at 8 o'clock. Sorry, 10 o'clock. So they come and say, Bhante, please, I have to go to the tuition class. You see, we teachers, they are not listening, but the tuition master is taking children from the dam. Then I told, you are inefficient. Tuition master is efficient. To pull the child, make yourself efficient. Don't envious with the tuition master. Give some mindful games. Give some activities, then children will be here. You are just hating the tuition master. They are taking money, taking the child. You are doing volunteer work. You are not creative. So therefore, I find fault with you. So I told you will come into our mindful society and we will make policies. I will teach you how to get the attraction of the children. So likewise, our mind jumping out to the other object, this object, keeping the primary object aside. Understand? So, you see, secondary object, they are very efficient for the passion and for the head. And you have to keep in the primary object as a pivotal point, this as a benchmark and the datum line, see how monkey mind. So therefore, when you are working in a society, I mean mindful school, each one is pulling in their own direction. So I will give. Then I tell you, this is the final decision. Hurry up, go. No more discussion. So this say I become authoritarian. I mean one-upmanship or ekadipati. How do you call ekadipati?
Dictator.
I feel so sorry because my natural nature is to listen to others and send the flow according to the slope. But sometimes I have to declare because I am the competent authority here in Nisarnavani. I just let it run. Whenever something goes wrong, I take the knife, chop. No. Till that, okay. And the Satipasala also, now we are in a critical problem in Satipasala. So I am not in a problem. I am relaxed. Satipasala is a side job. It is not my main issue. But I can do. But chuck. Cut off. With that dictatorship is that's why the Buddha became such a person. There's no two words. Everyone following, but due to the attraction, not due to the authority. But mind may not parallel to the Buddha, but kind of a authoritarian. So you are a very young person. You will also will get cut off, chopped off. Oh, you have to be a dictator. Then I will say, yes, thank you, sir. I give and go. Because I have to find you. Can you take a decision in such a troubled situation? Or not to take a decision. It's also a decision. Let the situation run. No kind of compromising. Understand? No.
A little bit.
No, you don't understand.
Sometimes
you don't understand. You have to eat this cake little while.
Sometimes it's just... so many places that you cover, Bhante, that it's hard for me to put it together. So,
but anyway, you have enough.
But I grabbed some points.
Enough time because I am so old. So you are not so old.
Thank you, Bhante.
Ukraine? No comment? Ukraine is very fearful because Russia will take action if you are going to take anything, state anything. Okay, a few minutes are there. Either continuing or going to the next stanza.
I was going to add, you should understand that thinking about the future, like planning, is a present moment thought about the future. And thinking about the past is a present moment thought about the past. So it depends on whether you're aware of the nature of what you're thinking of. It's when you get lost into we'll say anxiety, that you start to flee into the future and imaginative and fantasizing, or if you go into the past and you're having remorse or nostalgia or something like that, reminiscing or a sense of, you know, loss, usually that's, again, a present moment feeling is like I'm feeling loss and I'm escaping into thoughts about the past and I'm immersed into it. Like it's like you go to the cinema and there's a light on the wall of the screen and you hear sounds coming out of the speakers. But like if you get up and start to kiss the actress on the screen, you know, the light, you know, that's where you're immersed into the film. You don't see that it's just light and you don't hear that it's just sound. So, you know, planning, like, say, I have to take the bus and I have to take it at 5 o'clock and I have to be ready and I have to prepare. Like, that's just planning. That isn't what we talk about being lost in the future or lost in the past. That's present moment thinking about what the sequence of events. In fact, that's mindfulness. You're like, mindfulness has different meanings. One of the mindfulness is mind the step, mind what you have to do, be careful. There's a cautionary side to mindfulness. And like as a monk, you have to like not walk yourself into mistakes or into issues. Like we don't have money. So if you go somewhere where, you know, you have to pay a fee and you didn't have that all arranged, then it's a mess. You know, so there's monks who will say, I was being mindful. No, they weren't being mindful at all because they had no plan of action and they were just completely chaotic and a mess. You know, so you have to be very careful when you go out. You have to be mindful when you go out. And that may require some careful planning and organization. But that isn't what we're talking about when we say, you know, future orientated thinking. And, you know, that's where you sit down and you're imagining that you're, you know, a famous monk in the future and you're teaching a big retreat or something. You know, you have some little story going on in your head. That's what we're talking about as being like toxic or as a defilement. Being diligent and cautious and careful and doing a plan and executing and following a schedule, that's just being very present moment, actually, you know. So I just thought that might help you distinguish in our language what we're talking about. So that's how he does a lot of the stuff. He's organized, he's planned, he has a schedule. You see him writing things down, journaling and, you know, taking notes all the time. And, you know, that's how you have to do it. You have to be really organized and on point all the time.
Thank you. So it is time for Bindapata, very active participation. Thank you very much. This is the end of our English Mission Weekly Discussion.